This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Football season is upon us, so a football story. A coach recruits one of his former players, an alumni, and says, "How about if you do something for the old alma mater and help me to go and recruit some new players?" And so he agrees. And the coach says, "Now, you know there's that type of player that if you knock them down, they don't get back up." And the guy says, "We don't want that kind, do we, coach?" And the coach says, "No, we don't." And the coach says, "Now, you know there's that kind of player where you knock them down, they get back up, you knock them down again, and they stay down." And the guy says, "We don't want that kind of player either, do we, coach?" Coach says, "No, we don't." Coach says, "Then there's that kind of player, you knock them down, they get back up, you knock them down, they get back up, you knock them down, they get back up. Whatever you do, they get back up." And the guy's excited. He says, "And coach, that's the kind of player we want, isn't it?" And the coach says, "No, we want the kind of player who's knocking everybody down." A little humor. Humor. Same root word for humor is humanity. Same root word as humility. And that root word, the H-U-M, means of the earth. Grounded. There is something about humility that we are grounded. That we've all been there, down on the ground. And there's something about that that enables us not only to be in communion with each other, but to have a real sense of who and whose we are. You know, that word humility is not something that says we should think low of ourselves and think that we're no darn good. It's just the opposite. We have an incredible positive self-image of ourselves, but not because of anything that we have done or have not done or are capable of doing, but it is all rooted in a realization of who God is and whose we are as one beloved of God. And that in humility is what gives us our worth. This season now that we celebrated at the last service, the beginning sort of the school year. And with the deaths that we've experienced in our local community, I think a lot of us are sort of reevaluating. We're looking at, what are my priorities? What's important in my life? Well, I think this whole notion that Jesus is getting at of humility is one that's pretty important for us to look at. The reading from Jeremiah that you can read when you go home today, it's in the bulletin, hits this same thing where Jeremiah is called to address this people of Israel who just don't get it. They don't understand the fact that they're God's chosen people and these Babylonians have come in and beat them all up and pretty much just taken over. And they don't get that it has to do with their lack of humility. It has to do with the fact that God is no longer number one in their lives. That they have sort of pushed God onto the side. That they are really worshiping idols, so to speak. And what Jeremiah says is, you are putting your hope in cracked, broken cisterns. A cistern is a thing that's supposed to hold water. If it's cracked, just like if you got a cup of coffee or a soda, and it's cracked and you pour liquid into it, guess what? It ain't going to hold water. It's all going to spill out. And he's saying, this is what you're putting your hope in. And you got to go back, and you got to reevaluate and put God as number one. And if you do that, maybe things will turn around. Well, so let's go back to square one for us. Go back to the first commandment. What does God say? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery, out of bondage. You shall have no other gods but me. He goes on and he says, you shall not make for yourself any graven idol. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going back to Charlton Heston movies when I read those commandments and I think of little serpents that they're worshiping and the golden calves and all that stuff. And I think, well, I don't do that. But in a real sense, especially in what Jesus is talking about, I think I got a problem sometimes with creating idols in my life. And let me put it to you this way. Jesus talks at the end of the gospel today about the resurrection of the righteous. That's a word we use a lot today, righteous. But you know, there's a lot of times where that righteousness, the way that I think people should be living, that very quickly becomes self-righteousness, where I become the judge of everything else that is wrong or right with anybody else. And I end up creating this box of my limited vision where, guess what? Maybe God has a better perspective and maybe a little bigger picture than I do of reality. Because I end up, this is what I am worshiping, and it's my viewpoint. It's not God anymore, it's mine. And I end up just being as self-righteous as anybody ever was. And I get it wrong, just like those people of Israel were getting it wrong back then. And there is this call that I have to open myself up, that maybe God has a better idea. Because when I do that, then what happens? I'm no longer grounded. I'm up here, you're all down there. I'm doing it right, you're doing it wrong. And it's a problem. It's a big problem. We can go to extremes with these idols. We can go and we can say, well, you know, I'm doing it right, and that becomes the idol of pride. I've done it all myself. I don't need God. We can go to the other extreme and we just say in despair, I can't do it. That's another idol we worship, as if God can't redeem anything. So it becomes important for us to get this middle ground, that God might have a different and bigger viewpoint than I do. Remember who killed Jesus. It wasn't the bad people. It wasn't the people that the self-righteous would have considered bad. It wasn't the tax collectors. It wasn't the prostitutes. It wasn't all the people running around stealing money that killed him. Who was it? The religious. The people like us are the ones that killed him. Why? Because they were worshiping this idol of, this is the way reality is. And Jesus, if you can't look at the world the way I look at it, I can't take that. I'm going to get rid of it. And they get rid of him as a result. And so when he does things like he does in this gospel today, can you imagine? They were watching him closely already, as the gospel says. You're not looking at the world from my viewpoint. Therefore, it's wrong. That's a problem. So I've got to be really careful in the way I look at things. Am I always opening myself up that maybe God has something else in mind? You know, look who Jesus chooses to eat with. You ever think about that? Jesus always chooses the people whom the righteous would consider the bad folks. He's the one he wants to hang around with. You're a tax collector? Tuesday, dinner, my place. Zacchaeus, up in a tree, Wednesday, I'll be at your place for dinner. Prostitute, put your clothes on, Thursday, I'm coming for lunch. It's constant. This is who Jesus chooses to hang out with. Now, there's two conclusions we draw from this. One is, who am I to judge? You know, if we are on the journey, there is expectations as to the way we're going to behave. You want to look at some of those, read the letter to the Hebrews that's assigned for today. And it's pretty simple. We know what we're supposed to be doing and not doing. So start doing it. You know, people who are on the outside, who are not on this journey, the easiest way that we lose people and who aren't interested in this, because they look at the way we're living our lives and they say, and that's what following Jesus does for you? I want no part of it. So there's got to be some accountability that we have who are on the journey, but not to be judging those who aren't there yet. And then the other part of that picture is, you know, this God who chooses to eat with the unclean, who chooses to go to the prostitutes, who chooses to go to the tax collectors, to the people who are considered bad or unfit for society, well, guess what? He chooses to go to you. He chooses to go to every one of us. He says, you are worthy. And in that worthiness comes this humility of our dependence on him. We're starting the school year. Maybe you can relate to this, but when I was going into second grade, my family had moved into a new house, was going to a new school. First day of school, I was scared to death. Not of the nuns. I could handle the nuns. But the thing that had me shaking in my boots was, what if I go into the lunchroom and nobody will sit with me? And I got to sit there and eat my lunch all by myself. I will look like such a loser. I'm sure in some way you can relate to that, whether it's the first day and the new job, you go to the lunchroom or whatever. It's a horrible, horrible feeling. Well, here's a God who says, I'm on the lookout for people like that. You're lonely. You don't feel accepted. You don't feel worthy. I'm looking to sit down and have dinner with you. That's what righteousness is all about. As we go forward, perhaps as we begin this season, this school year, maybe this is where we need to start. What am I putting before God? What are the idols that are making me not righteous, but self-righteous? And where are the ways that God might be calling me to give other people a break, to give myself a break, and so that I might move on grounded in this humility of knowing I have worth, I have a God who wants to sit down and have lunch with me. Let's take that to our prayer.